Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 14 and Jesus' time in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's in verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." So remember, Jesus has already spent a fair bit of time on the Mount of Olives. He is lodging just on the other side of the Mount of Olives, staying at the house of Simon the leper. His Mount of Olives discourse, when he speaks about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, took place there. And now he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive press. And I think we can say that it is in this pressure of the coming cross that the oil of the Holy Spirit is going to be shared with his people. But it is in this place of prayer where Jesus does the work that prepares him for the time of trial to come. Notice, too, that he takes Peter, James, and John. He has taken them at key points in his ministry. Remember, he took them when he healed the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. He took them on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took them with him at the Mount Olive Discourse, and now at this moment. So that's also worth meditating, those key moments, the raising of a girl from death, the unveiling of Jesus' glory as it really is, the coming judgment of the temple, and then his high priestly prayer that seals his will to the Father's will. It is also the third time we see Jesus at prayer in Mark, and I think that's also Mark's way of underlining how important prayer is. And you've heard it said before, but if the Son of God needed to pray in order to bear his cross, how much more us to bear ours? Notice, too, the deep humanity of this scene. Jesus took the full weakness of the human form to himself, and he didn't cheat. It says he was deeply distressed. The language is almost the kind of language we would use for a panic attack. I believe Jesus was genuinely experiencing the extremes of anxiety and pressure that all human beings experience in his wrestling with what was to come on the cross. This is one of three places in Scripture and the only place in the Gospels where Jesus is referred to by this Aramaic word, Abba. Paul refers to this word Abba in Romans and Galatians, but only here in the Gospels do we see Jesus employing it personally. And of course, it's the intimate prayer, the intimate address that one would give to a father. But the thing I want to stress here is that it is a son wrestling, not sentimentally with the father's affection, but wrestling with the father's will, wanting to honor the father, trust the father, but also facing the full difficulty of what that means to his human nature. And ultimately, we see this as, I think this is so helpful for us to be able to see Jesus himself brought his frailty and weakness to the Father and found the resources from his Father to face what he was called to face. And I think we're called to do the same. We're called to follow him in the same path of unbounded trust and will to do the Father's will. So then, on the other side, we see the disciples sleeping and not watching. And I think it's important to note, he says, guys, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Notice what he's saying. Guys, you do not have the resources in and of yourself, in your bodies, to be able to face what's coming. The way to get those resources is through prayer, is through watching. And so Jesus is not saying the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and what are you going to do? He's saying, hey, the flesh is weak, but through prayer, you can find the grace and the resources to face coming trials. And notice, even in the Lord's Prayer itself, it says, lead us not into temptation. I think the point of that prayer is, God, there are trials coming. Please only give us, only allow trials in our lives that we can face with your resources. So again, a basic teaching of prayer is that, a basic teaching of prayer in the Christian life is we learn to face difficulties when we have developed deep resources in prayer to the Father. Notice too that Jesus is not sort of a stoic. He's not, you know, just sort of like a cowboy dealing with the difficulty. He is expressing all of his feelings and emotions before God. And I think that's the piety of the Psalms, right? That's the prayer of the Psalms. Honest, gut-wrenchingly honest, pouring out of the heart before God. And then notice the last time he comes, I think the battle has been won. Of course, Jesus' suffering is to come. But in terms of the question of his own human will, it's been resolved here in Gethsemane. And again, I think that teaches us that so much in our life that we face has to be accomplished beforehand in prayer, before we face it. And then lastly, notice that it says, let's be going. And I think this is just one more way of underlining that Jesus did not get dragged to the cross, but he went willingly to the cross. He went out to meet his betrayer and those who would arrest him. It's not just speaking of that then, but it's speaking of the entirety of Jesus' whole ministry, the whole arc of his incarnation, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He willingly gave himself for us. He willingly gave himself to the Father's will. And the Father willingly gave him on our behalf. So may we worship and adore the one who in the Garden of Gethsemane wrestled in his human nature to give himself on our behalf according to his Father's will. And may we learn to watch and pray with him so that we can follow him in his same steps. Amen.